This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're talking about beer. In recent years, craft beers have become downright prolific. There are small breweries popping up everywhere, and the selections of niche brews on supermarket shelves has gone through the roof. We'll be joined by three men, one who brews beer at home, one who has a brewery, and another who sells beer brewing equipment. But first, are you still waiting for your insurance company to close your Hurricane Irma-related claim? If so, you're not alone. We caught up with Florida's CFO Jimmy Patronis to find out what folks should do if they aren't satisfied with how their insurance company is handling their claim. He joined us by phone from his office in Tallahassee. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today. As CFO of the state of Florida, one of your roles is to oversee the regulation of insurance agencies. Can you remind me again what exactly that entails?
So, you know, there's several different capacities we have over the insurance industry. You know, the one that we take, you know, to heart the most, because it controls a lot of the cost of insurance, is rooting out insurance fraud. So we have 300 sworn law enforcement officers that focus and target on insurance fraud. We regulate all insurance agents and the processes that come within their jurisdiction. And then we want jointly with the governor to appoint the insurance commissioner, who then goes through the rate setting and investigation of our insurance companies.
Okay, so now we're about 4 months out from Hurricane Irma hitting the state of Florida. How would you say that the insurance industry has done so far?
So by the data that we've got, so we run a insurance help hotline, and there's, you know, 20 plus various types of insurance our specialists are prepared to assist you with. So since Hurricane Irma, we've received over 7,000 calls to our hotline. That number is 1-877-MY-FL-CFO. So these over 7,000 insurance-related Irma calls we've got, typically folks are calling because they have questions, concerns. They don't know if their claim is adequate for the coverage they've got. They're just confused. 21% of those calls have netted an additional $4.64 million into the homeowner's pocket. So, you know, those calls are definitely worth your time, letting our case managers, our specialists, deal with helping you find resolution and solution to your insurance claim.
So I wanted to, there are two sides to all stories. So you have a lot of people that are still waiting for claims to get settled, and we're now about 4 months out. Full disclosure, I'm one of those,
sure.
Still waiting. And then on the other side, you have the fraud side. But focusing on the customer side, on the claimants, is it unreasonable for people to be getting frustrated by this point if they haven't gotten their claim settled?
So there is a process there, and if you're, like I said, one of these ones that have found challenges in getting your claim settled, you call the same number, the 1-877-MY-FL-CFO, and insurance companies by Florida law have 20 days to respond once our office is notified of a complaint. And usually the response time is much quicker, but we strive to close whatever that claim, concern, issue is within 30 days. So, you know, the alternative is if you're at an impasse, then, you know, you go the route of filing a formal complaint, and you then let the process run its course.
I mean, maybe I'm a little codependent here, but early on I just didn't want to make too much noise because I know everyone's frazzled. There are a lot of disasters going
sure.
on, and I didn't want to cause any problems, and I don't think I'm the only one who felt that way. But how often is too often to call and complain and try to get a hold of your desk adjuster? I mean, what kind of advice would you give to people?
Well, our office is there to help for this exact reason. The insurance help hotline was established to deal with this exact concern because it became a reality. People are looking for resolution. They want to get on with their life. They've got bills to pay. They've got to get back to work. They've got a family to raise. And the challenges of settling a claim because of damage that you have sustained during a storm is a reality. But that's why we're here. That's why it was created. And I tell folks, you get what you put in. So if you don't call us and ask us to help, then I can't do anything for you. I've got to be notified. And sometimes I don't know there's a problem unless you tell me that there one exists. So, again, if you're listeners, and y'all have been so great. I mean, we wouldn't have 7,000 calls like we've had if y'all haven't been promoting this amongst your listeners that the helpline exists. But we just need to remind people, call when you've got an issue.
And that's kind of why I wanted to do this show today, because there are so many people that I've talked with that feel like they just have no recourse. They're working with this big behemoth. They paid all their premiums and they've been a good little customer. And now when they actually need them, they're having a really hard time getting anywhere. And it feels sometimes like you're kind of on your own and there's no recourse. So I think it's important to point out that this is available with the Division of Consumer Services from the Florida CFO's office. Can you tell me again how exactly to file a complaint? Is it better to do it online or on the phone?
You know, I would just start by calling first. Just simply call the 1-877-MY-FL-CFO. And to kind of give you just a little bit of the rule of numbers that we're looking at, so out of the 7,100 calls that we've gotten in our office since then, 34% of those callers claim they experienced a delay. That means 66% of them, you know, did not experience a delay. So, I mean, the rule of numbers is it works. Some claims are going to be more challenging than others. There's going to be a certain amount of probably gray in the deliberations that take place, or gray in the facts. But sometimes, in order to get attention, the squeaky wheel usually gets the grease. So call us first and let us guide you through your options.
The other thing is, you don't want to be the squeaky wheel that gets a lower settlement because you squeaked too much. You know, you don't want to make your desk adjuster mad.
Well, and then again, it's just because those calls alone that we have gotten $4.64 million to the good. If once they called, they explained their claim to us, and they have told us what the initial offer was, you know, 21% of those calls received, you know, over $4.5 million more than before they called us. So we are effective. We do exactly what we're going to do. And look, there's challenges to everything. It's just the rule of numbers. You're going to have, a handful of cases that are going to be so challenging that unfortunately there may be no solution other than legal recourse. But for the most part, We're going to service the citizens of the state of Florida and get them the results they deserve.
And have you seen a lot in the way of fraud in the wake of Hurricane Irma, people claiming more than they should and sticking by those claims?
Well, and so here's an example of what we see with debris removal. And this is how people will take advantage of the circumstances. You know, as you were to get the debris in your limbs and out in your front yard, out to be hauled off. You know, there's a very limited time window of that debris to be removed. Well, then what happens is the storm brings such a catastrophic change to somebody's backyard. They say, you know what, it's time to go ahead and get rid of the shed and everything. So people will then exploit the disaster to bring debris that was never intended to be hauled off into the circumstances and try to take advantage of the situation. You know, and well, God, since I've already started and I've got folks here with, you know, heavy lifting equipment to help clean up my backyard, let me go ahead and just and you on the other side, the contractor's probably hustling for more work. Mm-hmm. But we want, you know, our FEMA compensated debris removal to take care of our last 10 years worth of accumulation in our backyard. So, you know, there's always going to be excesses and abuses when it comes to trying to find resolution. But, you know, we've had a million claims so far since Hurricane Irma. You know, over 60% of those have either been closed or settled so far. So, I mean, the numbers are getting knocked down. We're doing the best we can to work with our stakeholders in the industry to keep them focused and on task.
And then the evolution of homeowners insurance and how it's kind of, it seems like it's changing. There are some that are assigning their preferred roofer or contractor to a home. For example, I know one person who was told that in spite of two bids she'd gotten locally for her roof repairs, her insurance adjuster sent her a letter informing her they were sending their own guy from Tallahassee to look at and then repair her roof. And they directed her to her policy, and it was there in the fine print that the company had the right to do that. Is it normal for homeowners insurance companies to have preferred people for things like roofing?
Absolutely. So here's what we've got. We have got an exploitation of Florida law, which is called assignment of benefits. And to give you a snapshot of what type of challenge, assignment of benefits is when somebody takes literally the benefits of their policy and assigns them to a third party, whether it be a contractor or some type of professional. And then a lot of times these professionals are licensed. Here's what happens, though. These assignment of benefits sometimes are dealt with without having a genuine claim involved. The contractor comes in and potentially fraudulently creates a claim. Okay, mm-hmm. So in 2006, when what ultimately happens is the insurance company ends up getting sued over this he said she said damage situation. In 2006, there was 403 assignment of benefits related lawsuits in the state of Florida. This year, we'll break over 30,000. So, you know, the insurance companies have no choice but to go ahead and secure their own trustworthy relationships with contractors that they know that they can ensure that the job is going to be dealt with without, you know, further litigation.
It's kind of starting to sound like health insurance, though. It's like we're reaching a point where we're going to have in-network and out-of-network roofers.
Well, and unfortunately, because of the litigation, I mean, going from 403 lawsuits to now over 28,000 last year, it'll break probably 30,000 this year, that drives up the cost of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and where it really gets bad is somebody will come and knock, and this is kind of the typical example. Somebody comes and knocks on your door, tells you that you know what, I'm a licensed contractor in the state of Florida. You know, I'd like to look and see if you've got any leaks in your house. So you think it's harmless enough. They look under your sink, and they find maybe a leaky pipe. You know, sometimes it can be challenged, you know, a finger pointing, but then they'll threaten you saying, hey, this leak is leading to mold and mildew in your house, and this is going to be catastrophic to your health. We need to rip your kitchen out, you know, because it's contaminated everything. Well, oh, my God, I'm scared. What do I do? Don't worry. I'm a licensed contractor. I know what I'm doing. Sign this assignment of benefits. I'll take care of it. The contractor comes in, rips your kitchen out. You put a new kitchen in. Then that contractor then contacts your insurance company because you've given them the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I need to be compensated for the Smith's kitchen. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Smith never contacted us. Oh, well, they signed this assignment of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've never seen anything about their issue. So it's a finger-pointing contest between the insurance company and this contractor. The contractor then ends up suing the insurance company because there's a claim denial. Okay, you don't know this is going on because you just got a new kitchen. Okay,
yeah.
So then once that claims denial takes place, litigation takes place, and then potentially the next cycle, you're either dropped or your insurance rates go up because of this fraudulent claim or circumstances. People don't realize, but with these assignment of benefits lawsuits, they get named to lawsuits they don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
Assignment of benefits, though, conversely, can be good if it's used honestly and appropriately, because some people don't have the money to pay for their hurricane insurance deductible, and the contractor has the ability to work with you in the deductible circumstances in order to get your roof fixed and bring your home into dry standing and closure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a long story to tell you why insurance companies have started embracing their own contractors. The other issue why they do it is if I have contractors that are on my payroll on a retainer, then my homeowner is not waiting to get their roof repaired because I have a roofer already on standby to do it. You're not fighting, you know, the public sector of roofers to get your roof done standing in line because my insurance company already has a relationship with a roofer that's on call, just like we do with adjusters after a storm.
Yeah.
Insurance companies have adjusters they keep.
Yeah, and they bring them in from other parts of the country. I know mine came
sure,
in from Texas.
Sure. Yeah,
we still have a lot of blue
already,
tarps, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, but they you know, get the situation stabilized and then bring in professional help. But, again, I can't stress enough, our hotline can deal with a lot of your listeners' concerns. And if we don't know the answer to the question, we'll get it. 1-877-MY-FL-CFO.
Yeah, and I want to remind people that if you're driving and you're hearing this and you don't have a chance to scribble that down, just check WGCUnews.org and we will have links and all of the telephone information, things like that, available for you there. And I wanted to take a quick look to the future. Do you anticipate insurance companies pulling out of the state of Florida because of these hurricanes or increasing their rates exorbitantly?
I don't necessarily. It's going to take a little while to get that to come to fruition. Again, over a million claims. Over 60% of them, whether they're closed or settled. So, you know, I think the details are still out. But the insurance companies in the state of Florida have had a very good run with storm-free years. That has brought additional carriers into our market because they have been able to provide insurance coverage at low claims losses. So that makes for a good market to do business in. I have not gotten many indications from any of the carriers that they feel like Florida's a bad place to do business.
Do you anticipate any rate increases?
You know, again, I think that all determines once we see how the claim settlements phase out. Irma was not as costly of a storm as it was predicted to be. Once it was, unfortunately, when it came through, Collier and Lee counties, it was devastating down there. But it was originally tracked to go through Miami and Broward and Palm Beach and Dade County, where the density is the highest in the state. So it could have had a catastrophic impact to the financial sovereignty of these insurance companies. But that's why they diversify. That's why they write in more markets than just Northeast Florida or Southwest Florida. They try to write the entire state in order to spread the risk. But, I'm just focused on continuing our economy and job growth, protecting our consumers and helping our first responders. Those men and women, they really went above and beyond the call of duty, helping us survive and recover after this storm.
They really did. And one more time, that phone number for us for the
sure,
line.
Sure. Thank you. And it's 1-877-MY-FL-CFO.
Okay, and who do you want to call that? People who are mad about the settlement they got? People who are wondering where their settlement is with their insurance company? Or just anybody with any kind of question?
All the above. That number will lead you down so many solutions that you might have. And again, like I said, if we don't have the answer to your question, we'll find it. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we wake up every morning and answer the phone and take our jobs so seriously. We're very fortunate to live in a state of Florida that has such a robust economy that we can afford these type of services to our citizens, and we take a lot of pride in what we do.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, no, what I wanted to take the time to thank you is keeping our access to your listeners available. We cannot make a difference. We would not have gotten 7,100 calls if it wasn't for you allowing us to educate and explain to your listeners, how to find solutions. Y'all have been fantastic partners in recovery, and you have made a huge difference.
Well, thanks so much. And again, I appreciate you coming on and explaining some of the things that are so mystifying for so many of us.
Thanks, Julie. Call anytime. We're on standby for you.
That was Florida CFO Jimmy Petronas. If you need to connect to his office, you can visit our website at wgcunews.org to find links where you can file formal complaints about your insurance. After recording that interview, we got to thinking in the newsroom about what folks should do if they've hired a contractor and things just aren't working out. Maybe they're dragging their feet finishing the job, or maybe they've disappeared entirely. So joining me next is Brian Oglesby. He's the Director of Public Relations and Outreach for the Better Business Bureau serving West Florida. Brian, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having us. I appreciate it.
Do you still have hurricane-related repairs that you're waiting to get completed? Maybe you're working with a contractor and you aren't entirely satisfied with how that process is going. Or maybe you're an overwhelmed contractor who can offer advice to homeowners. You can become part of our conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Brian Oglesby, how many complaints have you gotten so far about contractors after Hurricane Irma?
Well, we're seeing a lot of complaints coming in, and more importantly, those complaints are unlicensed contractors that are coming in from out of state, knocking on consumers' doors, trying to get work. And we call these storm chasers, not the people that go out and chase storms, but these unlicensed contractors that come into the area after a storm passes and try and get work quick. And the problems you see with that is these guys don't know the proper licensing and codes involved to do the work, but they're also not finishing the jobs. They're taking your money, they're leaving. And then if they do the job, if something goes wrong, how do you connect with these people if they go back to their home state?
Yeah, but when there are so few people around, I mean, everybody's so overworked. There are so many people that are booked so far out that it seems like there's little recourse other than to find someone, even if they are from out of state. Is there anybody that's from out of state that's safe to hire to do a job?
There are people, and there are contractors from out of state that are coming in and following the proper protocols. the most important thing is that they're getting the proper licensing needed to do the work in Florida. So when these guys come to you and promote their business to you, you need to be a diligent consumer and ask those questions, verify their license, go to the state of Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulations at myfloridalicense.com, research the name of the company and see if there's a license that links to the company. How are they when they show up to your home? Is it a marked vehicle? Are there license numbers on their contract and their vehicles? These are all going to be signs that you're dealing with a reputable company, or if you see nothing on there, then that's a red flag, and you should do more homework and due diligence on those companies.
Is there any recourse if you accidentally jump the gun and you hired a contractor and they turn out to be unlicensed? What can you do?
You do have recourse. I mean, you can always contact the Better Business Bureau. The Better Business Bureau is here to help consumers resolve disputes with any business out there in the marketplace. We're going to act as an impartial third party. Our goal is to reach out and connect with that business, try and work as a mediator, and find resolution through that complaint process. And then you can take it to other levels. You can go through the state of Florida as well, the Department of Business and Professional Regulations, not only file a complaint, but also report unlicensed activity to them. So that way they can crack down on this unlicensed activity and take action on those unlicensed contractors. And then on a local level, you have your local county contractor licensing boards. So reach out to your local county licensing boards, connect with them, see if they have a complaint process you can go through, as well check with them with licensing on these contractors, see if they have past complaints filed against them, and that way you can make informed decisions on these companies.
But what if somebody does have a license, you checked them out, they seemed like they were great, you gave them some money, and then they didn't do the job?
So if they didn't do the job, that's where you're going. We always encourage consumers to connect with the business first, speak to the business owner, let them know your questions and concerns, work with them directly. If that is not working with you, then your main recourses are going to be the Better Business Bureau, the State of Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulations, and then your local county contractor licensing board. You're going to file a formal complaint with those three organizations and go through the process to seek resolution with that contractor. If they're licensed, if they're an established contractor in the community, you're going to have much better opportunity to have resolution of a complaint than hiring an out-of-town unlicensed contractor that you may not know where they exist. In addition, you want to be proactive. You want to do your homework and research. Just because a contractor has a license doesn't mean they're the best contractor out there and you're not going to have problems. So as a consumer, you want to be an educated consumer. Verify who this contractor is, go online, read reviews, ask the contractor, what past work have you done recently? Let me speak to those customers you did work for. Ask those customers, did he finish in a timely fashion? Was the work done to your satisfaction? And then also go to the Better Business Bureau, see what we have on them, see what their rating is. Are they accredited by the Better Business Bureau? That means they're committed to higher standards, and they're going to be held accountable to those standards. And one of those standards is that they have to be responsive to their customers. So if they get a dispute, they're committed to being responsive to that dispute. And that's the key element, is doing your homework and research, not just reacting to the first person that comes to your door, but finding the reputable guys you can trust and hiring those guys to do the work.
Yeah, it's been so overwhelming for the labor force down here that it seems like tempting to just take the first guy that comes along. But you're saying you just have to be patient and have to do your due diligence and check on them. The best way to check is that DBPR website, the Department of Business and Professional Regulation of the State of Florida?
Yeah, so the State of Florida is the agency that regulates state licensed contractors. So myfloridalicense.com. Is there a website where you can verify a license online? And then you want to check these companies out. Just because they have a license doesn't mean they're legitimate companies you can trust. So you have to do extra homework and research and see what their track record is in the marketplace. BBB.org is a place you can go to research these companies. Even simply going on the internet, searching the name of the company, and then adding the word like review or complaint after their name will give you different search results and let you know what other people are saying about those businesses. Take all the information into consideration and then make an informed decision on who you're going to hire and who's the best company to do the work you need.
And, you know, this is kind of uncharted waters for a lot of homeowners, because it's not often that you have your pool cage blown off or roof tiles blown across the neighborhood. So familiarize me with what is normal. When a contractor is going to do some work for you, what is the normal amount that they're asking you to put down for them to start the work? Because I'm hearing a lot of people say that they've been asked to put down 50% or 60% in order just to get the work to begin.
So we always promote in thirds, a third down, a third halfway through, and then a third upon completion. And then you always want to hold a little bit at the end, make sure you're satisfied before you give final payment. And then most importantly, when you're giving payment, you want to make sure there's a release of liens provided to you. The last thing you want to do is pay them in full, and maybe the work was done to your liking, but then they're not paying the suppliers. So as a consumer, you want to check on that as well. Have all the suppliers been paid, and are they releasing the liens off of your home? The red flags of contractors are asking you to put in 50% or more up front. That's a big red flag, because if they don't come back and finish the job, you're putting a lot of money up front, and you want to make sure that these are good, legitimate contractors that are going to complete that job process. Also, the methods of payment, the red flags, paying in alternative methods of payment like cash or money orders or methods that are hard to trace. You definitely do not want to pay a contractor in those methods. If the contractor is asking you to write the check out in his own personal name as opposed to the business name, that, again, is a red flag. It's always safe to pay with a credit card. You have more protections in place when you do that through your credit card agency. And then just make sure you have an agreement with the contractor in those terms and those payments. And good quality sound financial contractors in the marketplace are going to let you pay in those third increments. They're not going to ask for tons of money up front to get the work completed.
So say somebody gave somebody 50% because they were in a hurry to get their roof tiles done, and they figured giving them more would get them to get the work done quicker, because a lot of people are still have blue tarps, and it's been 4 months on their roofs. At what point, you know, say the guy takes your 50%, goes up, takes off your blue tarp, puts on a couple tiles, he's not done with the job, but then he goes on to get more jobs. At what point can you go after them? I mean, when do you have to get an attorney? I mean, you call the Better Business Bureau, but when do you have to hire an attorney to really start going after the guy to get your job done?
Well, we'll look back at that contract, see what your terms of the contract indicate, and stipulate. Make sure it's stipulated on the front end that the job will get completed in a timely manner, and set those guidelines. And if the company is not following the guidelines of the contract, which is where everything's going to become most important, if he's outside of that contract, then that's where you can pursue it with an attorney. But if the contract is open-ended and he has any time in the world to finish it, it's going to be hard to hold them accountable to finish quicker through a process like an attorney. Any time you have a situation where you're dealing with a company and you have a dispute between you and the business and you can't resolve it directly with the business, the Better Business Bureau takes that whole legal aspect out of it. Our goal is to work as a mediator between the consumer and the business. And sometimes we can step in even partway through if you're having trouble with the contractor. We can work as that mediator, reach out to the contractor, say, this is the problem the consumer's having, they want to get the job done, what's going on. And sometimes simply by the Better Business Bureau stepping in and working between the consumer and the contractor, we can find resolution, we can keep the job going, and then it's a win-win situation for both parties. And that's the obvious goal we want to promote for both parties out there.
So the majority of the complaints that you're getting from people are unlicensed contractors. Is that what you said about, like, what, 70% are unlicensed contractors?
Yeah, there's a lot of unlicensed contractors coming into town, a lot of people contacting us, even calling in a lot of cases. Also, a lot of contractors knocking on door claiming, we'll get your insurance to cover this 100%. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. They're going to make everything easy and fine and dandy, and it's all going to be covered by your insurance. We really want consumers to understand the whole world out there of assignment of benefits contracts, and just beware of any contractors who make claims that they're an insurance claim specialist, or they may ask you to sign an agreement to allow them to contact your insurance company and seek approval of repairs for you. A lot of the unscrupulous businesses out there have tricked consumers into signing these assignment of benefit contracts. They don't read the fine print, and then it commits you to automatically contract the contractor with the insurance company. So there's good legitimate companies out there that you can work with, and you can work through an assignment of benefits clause. But then there's the sneaky ones out there that are not transparent with you. You don't know what you're signing. They're upping the price of the jobs that should be done. And as a consumer, you just want to be a savvy consumer, know what you're signing, make sure you read through that fine print, connect. That's the time to connect with your attorney before you sign that contract. Take that contract to an attorney that specializes in contractor law. Ask them to review it, make sure it's okay to sign before you have that amount of work that's being done in your home.
And one more quick warning about the unlicensed contractor. Is it true that if you hire an unlicensed contractor, you might be on the hook for their medical bills if they're injured while they're working on your house?
Yes. So if you hire an uninsured, unlicensed contractor, and they get hurt on your home, then, A, if they get hurt, you could be up for paying their medical bills, especially if they're uninsured. So it's important to verify, even if they have a license, it doesn't mean they're insured. So also ask them for proof of workers' comp, proof of liability insurance. Make sure they put you as the certificate holder on the insurance to verify it's current and active. And then unlicensed contractors, if they don't do the job right, there could be an issue there with your insurance company not covering the cost of repairs because it was done by an unlicensed contractor, may have not been done to code, and then you may have concerns with your insurance company covering that repair job that was done.
That could end up getting really expensive.
It could. And so I know we're all in a rush to get these repairs done, and it's hard. This is the situation that we're in. But sometimes stopping for a minute, thinking through the process, doing your homework, doing your research, verifying, finding the good, reputable companies you can trust is going to actually save you more time and money in the long run. And it's hard to see that now, but just by doing that little homework, the Better Business Bureau is always a great resource to help any consumer. We always want you to check first, do your homework, investigate, and make sure you're choosing the right companies than being reactive. We're seeing a lot of scams out there happening as well, a lot of scammers just taking advantage of people in this emotional need. So just be aware, stop for a minute, think of what's being presented to you, and when in doubt, contact the Better Business Bureau. We can look into that, verify, and help walk you through that process.
And we have links to the Better Business Bureau on WGCUnews.org. So if you're listening and didn't get time to write any of that down, we do have links to everything that we just talked about on the Gulf Coast Live tab there. So we're going to have to leave it there for now, but I want to thank my guest, Brian Oglesby. He's the Director of Public Relations and Outreach for the Better Business Bureau serving West Florida. Brian, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, Julie. I appreciate it.
Coming up after a short break, all things beer, brewing it, studying it, appreciating it, and last but not least, drinking it. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.